Blog Talk Radio.
The Robert Rule Show starts in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5. You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Robert Rule Show. I am your host, Robert Rule. Today is Sunday, September 20th, 2015. We have a lot of news, a lot of news. You know, things are heating up. Election season's coming. The wintertime, they're going to turn it up. Then again, you get the October surprise very soon, right around the corner. I don't think they're going to wait till election time. I think they're going to drop something now. Trump is ahead big time. And the Democrats, they're not even having debates. And a lot of Democrats are upset about that. So I'm going to go over some headlines. We're going to talk about the Pope is over on this side of the ocean. The Emmys are tonight, and if you're watching that, then you're probably politically stupid, and we don't really care. Investigator Bert Dahl left his post to expose problems in the unit. I have a hard time believing that. Sanders makes a push to unseat Clinton. And if he's not careful, he might end up dead like so many others. For messing with her. That's not right. Left-wing senator woos black vote in attempt to secure nomination. I know we have a lot of headlines this evening. Carson, a Muslim should not be president, but we're going to delve deeper into that because there's a lot more to it than that. Stephanopoulos grills Trump, why can't you say that Obama is not Muslim? Well, first of all, Papadopoulos, whatever the hell that fruitcake's name is, this guy, I can't stand George Stephanopoulos. He is the epitome of everything socialist. He's just the ultimate butt kisser, and I can't stand the guy. So we're going to get into that. Flashback, Obama says, quote, my Muslim faith. Well, that's right. His father was a Muslim, and his stepdaddy was a Muslim. So, you know, in the Muslim faith, that is passed down to your children. Apple targeted as hackers hit apps. So Apple users, it seems, it would seem, are no longer safe. Store suffers first major attack. Crowds turn on DC Debbie. Talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the weird-looking socialist who is the head of the Democrat Party. And many more stories to come tonight. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going great. Now, awesome. First thing I want to talk about is I know something that you're dying to talk about.
Oh, I'm trying to admit.
You brought up some interesting points, and I want you to go into that a little more. We're talking about the papal visit.
Yeah.
tell us how you really feel about Pope Francis, the first Jesuit pope.
Well, here's what we know. We know that he is saying a lot of things that are really anti-biblical, all right? He's saying that if aliens came to Earth, that he would baptize them. All right, well, if you're a discerning Christian, you know Jesus didn't die for aliens, okay? He died for human souls. All right, he says that, something about abortion. You know, we focus too much on abortion, and who is he to judge? You know, he's saying a lot of things that reek of socialism. Here's the other thing. I think that if you're an intelligent person, you should consider this. Why is someone who's promoting a socialistic, you know, global warming agenda cozying up to all the leaders of the world? I mean, that is strange to me. And especially this pope, because what's astounding to me is how many atheists, agnostics, members of the LGBT community, non-Catholics, and lukewarm Christians love this guy. I mean, they just sit, you know, fawn over him. And for me, that's kind of telling. You know, and people will get, well, that's because he's for the humanity. Well, there's something more to this. So I'm just going to say it. I mean, if he's not the false prophet, I think he's a false prophet. And I know that gets a lot of Catholics upset. But, you know, I'm not here to make people just feel nice. I mean, we're here to kind of expose and try to find the truth. So I think this is telling. Oh, and he also said that if you're Christian, you love this. If you're Christian, you have guns, you're not Christian, basically.
Really?
And he
said that.
Oh, yeah. He just recently, I read that he said if you own guns, you're not a Christian. Also said, what was it? It was just on my mind. Hold on a second. Oh, that a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous. And he did say that. That was relatively recent. That if you embark in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that it is dangerous outside the Catholic Church. Okay, so again, this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and anybody with any shred of discernment can recognize that. So let it rip, man.
You know, I'm going to put this out there, Jason. I am thinking about running for political office.
Sweet.
I'm more than considering it. I've already talked to the who's who and the what's what. And all they're waiting for is for me to say go. And a good friend of mine, and I won't mention any names, who would be my campaign advisor, suggested that I should take down my post about the Pope coming to town. I think maybe because people really agreed with what you had to say, and that was a lot.
Well, wait, people and, agree with what I would have to say?
Yeah, a lot of people agreed on my post with what you had to say. However,
oh, okay.
lot of people in the district that I would be running in are Catholic. Now, I haven't polled the Catholic community, and I don't know that they are aware of the things that you just pointed out. How do you think?
A lot aren't. A lot aren't.
I'm sorry?
You know what? A lot aren't. I mean, I had a, I had a principal, he retired a couple years ago at where I worked, older gentleman, and he was Catholic. And he said this to me, Rob, and this kind of sent shivers down my spine. He's like, you know what I think the world needs? He said, we need a benevolent dictator. He's like, that's what we really need. And I just looked at this guy like, you've got to be kidding me. I do think that a lot, not all, and I'm not saying all Catholics are bad. It's not Catholics. It's Catholicism. It's the established, and it, to me, it's not, Christianity. It's evil veiled as Christianity. And all you have to do is look at the Catholic Inquisitions of the 1200s and 1600s and all the pedophilia. Now, that's a problem everywhere, but the manner in which it was just covered up for decades and enabled in the Catholic Church, I mean, that alone should kind of raise suspicions. So my feeling is that a lot of Catholics, and my mother-in-law became Catholic a few years ago, and, you know, she and I went back and forth about that. She was Christian well before that. And it just, it's really, really, I think a lot of Catholics aren't paying much attention. And for me, I think you should keep that post up because we should not be cowering in these times. That's my belief. Or, you know, kowtowing.
I think you're absolutely correct. I suspect that a lot of Catholics do not know the things that the Pope has been saying because they don't listen. They go to these events and they're so mesmerized. It's like people going to a mega church. And listen, guys, if you're listening to this show, I'm very Christian. I actually find myself sometimes talking to God, although God doesn't talk back.
Yeah, you know, I don't hear him audibly.
Right, but you would never, ever see me doing the kind of crap that some of these people do. I've never looked like I was on Flacca. You know, that's just never happened. And
hey,
I understand
Rob.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. I want
no,
to share
you're
something
fine.
With you.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Lucifer telescope in hold on a second here. It's in, I think, Arizona. Are you familiar
no.
with this? Okay. It's called it's at the University of Arizona's Large Binocular Telescope, and it is in Mount Graham. All right. And here's what's strange. The Vatican is tied to this Mount Graham Observatory, okay? And stands for Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera Integral, and the acronym is Lucifer, okay? And the Vatican is directly tied and has access to things that they're basically looking for extraterrestrial life, okay? And I won't go into my thoughts on that because, you know, we have limited time, but that's strange to me. It's very strange. And there was actually a really good book up written about this, Exo Vaticana, by Chris Butman and Thomas Horn. So, again, it's just another piece of the puzzle that I think, as you were saying, I don't know that a lot of Catholics are privy to. I think some of them just are unknowing of it. They don't know about it. There are others that if you try to talk to them about it, they automatically, the defenses go up, they stop listening. Because it really shatters their paradigm. And, you know, you and I understand this. Even trying to bring people to awareness of the things you and I talk about outside Catholicism, people don't want to hear it. Because they have to reconcile the truth that this world is not what we are led to believe it is. So I wanted to throw that in there.
So why exactly are they looking for extraterrestrial life, and are they have they joined with SETI?
I don't know, but you can anybody can look this up in the Vatican ties to this Lucifer telescope. And my feeling is this, I can't prove this, but my belief is that, first of all, I believe that what are regarded as aliens are nothing more than demonic manifestations. I don't believe that there's, you know, other beings. I just don't. Call me narrow-minded. I think these things are demonic manifestations, and I think at some point, and we do know that all over the world people are seeing more and more strange stuff in the sky that can't be explained. I think at some point in the future, these things are going, there's going to be disclosure of some type through the world governments, and I think that the Vatican will be tied to it, that these things are here to help us, and they're going to, you know, they're going to come with all kinds of lies, and at some point, you know, we're going to be told that, hey, we, you know, these guys, these things are here to help us, and, you know, we need to listen to them. And one of the first things these things are going to say is, in a roundabout way, is that, you know, Jesus Christ is in God. You know, we created you through, I forgot what they call it. So that's what I think could eventually unfold in the future. I don't know when. And I know that sounds crazy, but I've studied it quite a bit. Steve Quayle has a lot to talk about on this subject, L.A. Marzulli. Very brilliant men, very well spoken. So that's what I believe. I think it's going to be used as an end-time solution at some point, and I think the Vatican is going to be directly tied to it.
Well, the Vatican has more money than God.
Well, exactly, and it's so funny because this Pope is coming here to talk about climate change and socialism, so yet he's going to globetrot on some jumbo jet. You know what I mean? And then there was some PR stunt they pulled a couple of days ago, how he's taken in some Syrian family, some refugee family. It's like, well, why don't you take in a few thousand? If that, you know, to me, it's just smoke and mirrors.
Speaking of that, Jason, remember last week when we were on air and we reported about the 10,000 refugees coming to America?
Yes.
And I said, you might as well make that 100,000 because the government always lies.
Yes.
So it was just reported today that they're going to increase the refugees from 10,000 to 85,000.
Bringing them to America?
And, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I told you people out there, and listen, it's common sense. You just multiply it by 10. The thing the government says, multiply it by 10. Except for when you're talking about the money that they have in the treasury. Then you subtract it by 10 times. So, and that reminds me of something too, Jason, not to get off the subject, but every time I bring something up, I have something else to say. But just a quick side issue on that report, by the year 2016, they're projecting 100,000 refugees, and in 2017, probably double that. That number by 10, and that's what you got.
What do I always say? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll try to remember this.
If you want the truth, what do we do when it comes to the government?
Well, it's going to be the opposite of whatever they say.
Yes, if you want the truth, take what the government and the media tells you, the established media tells you, and just think the direct opposite. In this case, as you said, when they say 5,000, 10,000, it's going to be a hell of a lot more, and it's going to be a lot more than America can sustain. And they know that. I mean, I think part of what they're trying to do is further blur the cultural lines of America. They're trying to create, no longer it's the America that we once knew. it's going to be sort of this mishmash of every different kind of culture, and they're essentially trying to phase out the culture, our culture.
Absolutely. Now, I just heard this on the radio the other day. There was a guy, and I couldn't find the story, but as I remember, as I recall, this guy thinks, and he wrote a whole paper on it, and I guess there's a movement. These people think, well, they think that it's not fair or isn't right that 1 times 1 equals 1. They think it should be 2. Have you heard that?
Sort of, yes.
That's kind of like the flat earth people. I'm thinking Common Core. What they don't understand is when you're doing multiplication, and I'm no teacher, but 1 times 1 means 1 times itself. So if you, it basically means that 1 is 1.
Sure,
maybe
yeah.
You could explain it better.
Well, I think they're taking something that has a definitive, absolute, correct answer, and they are just twisting it to fit their narrative or their agenda. And in the process, they're mixing sound. They're doing away with sound logic and making something illogical look sensible.
Right. And we're seeing that more and more today with the flat earth movement and all that. This guy, if you take an apple, we're talking about multiplication. You take one apple and you lay it down there on the table. We're saying 1 times is this. This is where multiplication starts. Can you imagine Einstein using this guy's theory of saying that 1 times means there's 2 apples rather than 1? How would Einstein ever figure out any of his equations with this guy's logic?
He wouldn't. I think he would probably have flipped the table over and gave him a piece of his mind. You know?
All right.
So go ahead.
I want to move on to this real quick. Let me see what our time... Yeah, I think we can fit this in. All right. So, the other night, there was a special on Mao Zedong and his rise to power. And I want you to pay attention because this is important. This told everything, Mao Zedong's rise to power. His first inclination was reading the Communist Manifesto. That set him on a course that would kill millions of people. And who reads the Communist Manifesto? Who believes in the Communist Manifesto? None other than socialists. Right?
Anybody in power at this point with influence.
Socialists.
Well, yeah. We should, you know.
That's essentially what they are.
Yeah.
Socialism leads to communism. But socialism is the means to get there. And that's what we're talking about here, the Communist Manifesto. Now, socialism sounds good because, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants their fair share of the pie and not have to work for it. That sounds great.
Not reality.
Tell me, if you were 15 years old, Jason, and I said, Jason, you don't ever have to work. You're going to get your fair share. Would you be happy?
In my 15-year-old mind, initially, yes. But then I think there would also be that part of me like, well, I kind of like doing things on my own, you know?
But you can do things on your own, but you don't have to work for it. Wouldn't that be nice? We'll just send you a check.
one of the greatest lies ever told. Well, yeah, it does. But the problem is there are evil people in this world who use that to entice people who aren't really thinking as a method of control and, death and destruction. And that's what it always seems to that's always what it ends up to be. It's never this utopia where we're all singing kumbaya. It's quite the opposite. So, it would behoove people to kind of really study this.
So, it's the means to an end, basically. Socialism leads to communism. And if you watch the special that was on TV the other night, it was very informative. I was listening to Michael Savage the next day, and we love Michael Savage. And I want to play for you what Michael Savage had to say, because there's only two people I trust, Jason, when it comes to talk shows.
Who's that?
It's Michael Savage and Alex Jones. The only two people I trust, because they're the only ones I haven't caught in a lie. They're the only ones who are sincere. I like Michael Savage because he's funny and he doesn't know it. Alex Jones, same thing. He's funny and he doesn't know it. But they always formative and they're always years ahead of anyone. So I'm going to play this clip real quick. I want you to take a listen. It's just kind of funny how we were watching the same program and knew what it meant. Let me find it here. Here it is.
Astonishing to me is that Hillary Clinton, do I have to describe who she is? Do I have to describe to you what she is? Has the nerve to say to Trump, start behaving like a president. But let's begin at the beginning. I wasn't going to do this today. I've got to guide you where my head is coming from and where my head is going. Last night I was watching a documentary on Mao Zedong, who is the model for several of Barack Obama's chief staff members. They've even said so. One of them said that Mao Zedong is her hero. He killed at least 45 million fellow Chinese who were not politically correct. Now, you got to understand how serious this topic is. I have long felt that this administration is filled with Maoists. People have called them Marxists. They've called them Leninists. But they don't quite understand who they really are. They are more politically associated with Mao Zedong than anyone else. The only thing missing are the deaths and the death camps. The fact is, though, the style, the techniques, and the methodology is all that of Mao Zedong. Many of you come out of colleges where you were subjected to brainwashing. Brainwashing going back, frankly, to your elementary school days. Brainwashing on what to think about gays. Brainwashing what to think about global warming. Brainwashing on what to think about illegal aliens. But it's all brainwashing. In fact, astonishingly, last week, the president himself said that his daughters know that global warming is real and that the future generation will embrace this more so than the current generation. Right out of Mao Zedong. The only difference is that in Mao's time, they took 10 and 12-year-old children and turned them into killers. They called them the Red Guard. And they had them kill their own parents, their own teachers. Anyone from the old generation was tortured and killed. If you think I'm making this up, just do a quick search on Mao Zedong. And you say, what does that have to do with Barack Obama? He's a nice Christian man, is he? Is he a nice Christian man? Is that why he's flooding America with illegal aliens? Is that why he's flooding America with Muslims? Is that why he doesn't follow the law? Is that why he gets away with virtually anything, because he's a nice Christian man? Well, there's only one man speaking to this issue. That's Donald Trump. How much longer he will get away with it, with the hatred coming at him from the low-life solenterates in the media, is a question of how strong he really is. I hope he's in it for the long haul. I hope he can take it. I've taken it for 21 years, so I think he can take it for another year. Many in the media who are conservatives have taken it for a number of years. So I'm sure Donald could take the hatred for another year, although I'm not sure. And I'll tell you why I'm not sure. Because we in radio have built up a resistance to the hate from the vermin on the left, the hatred from the Soros-generated machines of hatred like Media Matters. They are front groups for these Maoist organizations that want to destroy the opposition. We have learned how to put up with these insects. The question is, though, when you take a man like Donald Trump, who's used to being revered and as a member of society and respected at the highest levels, when suddenly they turn on him because they're all a bunch of jackals and cowards, that's the question. Can he take this being, you know, being ostracized? So at the same time I was watching the history of Mao Zedong, and I was going to talk about that today, late at night, I couldn't sleep because I ate a lot of jam yesterday, some French jam I rarely eat. I needed the energy for the show. I was flying on it last night. I couldn't go to sleep, so I said, all right, so I watched. Luckily, I was searching for a movie for months that I started to see on an airplane entitled Leviathan. It's a Russian-language film. It's not for everyone. It's a drama. It's slow-moving. It's thoughtful. It's one of the finest films I've ever seen in my life. Now, if you first watch it, you'll turn it off because there's nobody with bling on their teeth, nobody rubbing their crotch, nobody picking up a gun and gratuitously shooting their mother. In other words, it's not an American movie produced by Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Geffen. It's a work of art. And what it's about is a man who lives in a little fishing village on the Barents Sea with his wife, his second wife, and his teenage son. And a local corrupt communist official, well, it's after communism, but he's just like the old Politburo communists, wants to take away his house that his father and grandfather lived on. He's a mechanic, a garage mechanic, and they want to buy it from him, and he won't sell. It's all about how they set him up and steal his land from him and what goes on when there's tyranny in a local little bureaucracy. He reminded me about everything wrong with every government I've ever encountered. From the local DMV to the president himself, that's what this movie represented to me. Hillary Clinton embodies this man, this evil of this little mayor in this northern Russian town. She is an absolute embodiment of the old Politburo of the Soviet Union. And so I said, well, how do I put all of this together for the audience? How do I put together my attempts to instruct them that Mao Zedong is alive and well in the Obama administration? Oh, there's no death camps, there's no killing, but the indoctrination tactics are identical. And then how do I get across to them that Hillary Clinton and the entire Democrat Party is an offshoot, a Frankenstein child of the old Soviet Politburo? How do I explain this to the average American who doesn't know anything? Well, it's a challenge. And frankly, I don't know that I'm up to the challenge. If anyone's up to the challenge, it's me, but I don't know that I'm up to it. Because I know the media as well as anybody in the world. And I also know that the mass media has changed. It's gone to a lowest common denominator. Lower and lower every day. The denominator of the media goes lower and lower in order to appeal to the non-English speakers, in order to appeal to the people who are not only uneducated but stupid to begin with, and then in order to appeal to those who have disavowed teaching, school, scholarship. So the media has degenerated. So how do you do a thing like this, I said to myself. How do you talk about Mao Zedong? How do you talk about Leviathan, the Russian movie? And how do you make it mean anything to a mass audience of the type that you have? And then I wake up and there's this controversy about a man at a Trump campaign rally saying Obama's a Muslim. And Trump says very reasonably, we're going to be looking at a lot of different things. A lot of people are saying that. A lot of people are saying bad things are happening out there. And right away, the very vermin in the media, the little children of Stalin, the children of Mao, are out there saying that Trump is a bad man. And there she is, the head of the Clinton machine, the most hidden criminal activity I've ever seen in my life occurring under her watch, daring to say that Trump should start behaving like a president. Well, there's a lot to be said about that, but it's not about Trump. It's about her refusal to debate. It's about her refusal to tell us where she was the night Benghazi was burned and the ambassador was killed. And many other stories like, what about the hundreds of millions of dollars funneled into your husband's library from foreign governments? and people in America who want favors. Lots of things to talk about.
Jason, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I agree with him completely. I mean, everything he just said, he just summarized America in, what, 5 minutes? It's all true.
Pretty much.
I mean, really, and what's so sad is, of course, and he said this, most Americans are none the wiser. Either that or they embrace this nonsense. They think this is great. I mean, and I know people like that and think it's wonderful. But the thing is,
well,
the people who are promoting this movement, those in the high places, they have no intentions of living a socialistic life. Okay, they're not going to scale down their mansions. They're not going to scale down their ways of jet setting across the globe. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Everything they're pushing is for people like you and I.
Yeah, and the reason people embrace this is because they're indoctrinated from kindergarten all the way up.
Well, even in high school, we have the Model UN. Well, that if that's not embracing, which is just a global government anyway, I mean, in its, you know, purest form, and we have those across every high school in America.
And if you had watched the documentary, you would know that Mao did the exact same thing. And furthermore, we're the ones who put Mao in power. The United States.
Well, I believe that. Just like Henry Ford had ties to Hitler. And we inadvertently helped basically Hitler with his reign of terror. And people can look that up. That is all fact.
Well, Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
Yes. Yep. wasn't Obama, and I read recently that they wanted to give him another Nobel Peace Prize, a second one, if you can believe that.
But here's the thing. He didn't even deserve the first one. He did nothing for peace. But here's the thing. They know that the American people, with their Constitution, is the most powerful thing on the earth. A free man is the most powerful thing on the earth, especially if that man is armed. Not only with weapons, but with knowledge. And they don't like people like you and me giving people knowledge, telling them what's really happening in the world, and simplifying it. And so we are labeled domestic terrorists, whatever you want to call them, by these people. And you heard Michael Savage mention there are no death camps. Well, Hillary Clinton just mentioned fun camps for adults. Hitler took people on cruises all around the Mediterranean. They had adult fun camps. They turned into concentration camps.
Well, it's,
so,
it's the old bait and switch. They paint their objective as this wonderful thing, but then as time presses on and things evolve, it becomes sort of this living nightmare, and we've seen this happen before many times throughout history.
And if you're listening out there, it's going to be sad when it happens, but it is going to happen. People you love, people you cherish, probably the people in the other room right now watching the Emmys while you're listening to this show, those people are going to go to the fun camps. They're going to lure you in. And you're going to go along with it because you're not going to be able to resist. You're not going to have that choice. And that's sad. Jason, if we don't fix it now, we're in a lot of trouble.
Unfortunately, Rob, I think we're at that point. I don't know that it's correctable. And I hate to sound like a fatalist. I think it would take an awakening, a mass awakening on the part of Americans. And I think there is a slow awakening. The powers that be recognize that, and they're kind of amping things up on their end as well. And, you know, if all it would take is a nuclear attack or an EMP or some major calamity to hit America, and I think people are going to absolutely lose it and cry out for the solution, foolishly cry out for the solution.
Well, by the time they cry out for a solution, it will be too late. That's the thing. That's the thing about this. And they know. They know the end game. They have a plan. By the time anybody figures it out, it's going to be too late. And they call people like you and me tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. And people just need to wake up a lot quicker. Don't be embarrassed. Don't, you know, right now it's only the people who are brave. You know, people like you and I that really don't give a damn what people think of us. We're going to say it anyway.
I'm past the point of caring because I think there's so much complacency in our society that it just makes me more passionate about what I see happening and to say things to people. So because of all the complacency, I just don't care anymore. Because at some point, people are going to come to the realization, and it's not going to be comfortable, and it's not going to be fun, and they're going to realize, oh, man, this is no good. But as I said, it may be a little too late. So there's no place for people like you and I and people who are watching what's going on. There's no time for us to be complacent. And there's no reason.
All right, so top imam says Muslim migrants should breed with Europeans to conquer their countries. He says they have lost their fertility. Who didn't see this coming? Speaking at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, Ayed stated that European countries were not rolling out the red carpet for migrants because they were compassionate, but because Europe was in dire need of a new source of labor. Europe has become old and decrepit and needs human reinforcement. They are not motivated by compassion for Levant, its people, and its refugees, said Ayed, adding, soon we will trample them underfoot, Allah willing. Throughout Europe, all hearts are enthused with hatred towards Muslims. They wish that we were dead. I think it's the other way around, Jason. But anyway, they have lost their fertility, so they look for fertility in our midst, he added. We will forgive them, or we will give them fertility. We will breed children with them, because we shall conquer their countries, Ayed stated. Whether you like it or not, Americans, Italians, Germans, and French will be forced to take the refugees, he said. We shall soon collect them in the name of the coming caliphate. We will say to you, these are our sons. Send them, or we will send our armies to you, concluded Ayed. Ayed correctly outlines the fact that Europe is facing demographic disaster because its citizens have stopped having children. Italy's current birth rate of 8.4 per 1,000 people is the lowest since 1861. And the picture is much the same across the rest of Europe. Population is only increasing as a result of mass immigration. Birth rates in the West are far lower than those in the Middle East and sub-Sahara Africa, which is where most of the migrants come from. The notion of using mass migration as a form of stealth jihad is outlined in the Quran, which states, and whoever emigrates for the cause of Allah will find on earth many locations and abundance. To emigrate in the cause of Allah, that is, to move a new land in order to bring Islam there, is considered in Islam to be highly meritorious, is a highly meritorious act. So, what do you think of that?
Let me ask you this. Think about all these Syrian refugees that they're going to, according to John Kerry, you know, bring over to America within the next year. You don't think for a moment that our government, it's going to give them more fodder to say, well, we have to, you know, consider these people, where they're coming from, and, you know, maybe we need to consider that in some level Sharia law should apply to them, and we're going to make a little room within our Constitution to accommodate Sharia law. I mean, am I wrong to consider that possibility? I mean, they're going to accommodate these people the best, the way they want to. And it's going to mean that our Constitution further loses, I believe, if it's got anything left, further loses its importance. I mean, is that wrong to suggest?
No. I mean, no, I think there's a plan here, and I think the president has something to do with that plan.
Well, and then let's take it a step further. You don't think that some of these refugees may not come over with, you know, some nefarious intentions? I mean, this is, again, it's foolish beyond comprehension. And I believe that this is not just a, you know, goodwill to humanity endeavor. I just don't. There's a lot more to this that, of course, will reveal itself in times to come.
Oh, it's already revealing itself to the people who are awake.
Yeah.
The people that don't know what the hell is going on and are watching the Emmys, they have no clue what's coming. But I tell you something these people haven't figured out yet. We're a hell of a lot stronger than they are. And we will obliterate them.
The thing about Americans is that we do have a lot of arrogance and we have a lot of attitude, which can, you know, I think sometimes when we're pushed to our limit, there are many Americans that will rise to the occasion and do the right thing. So I do think that we have sort of a remnant of Americans that could stand by that. Unfortunately, all those Americans are going to be doing all the grunt work. But I'll tell you what, them bringing these thousands of Syrian refugees over to America, it is not, and you know, what the media is portraying is, oh, these poor people and we have to help them. It's far beyond that. And I think the unintended consequences of this are going to be dire.
Well, I don't think they're unintended at all. As a matter of fact, I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes. I mean,
are going along with it, you know, may be unintended. But
I think this agenda is like it's multifaceted in its intentions. It's to further sort of decimate American culture, what you and I and patriots and what we regard as our American culture. And I don't, you know, people can say, well, you know, we're all before them. It was, you know, we came over here. Well, I'm talking about what's going on now. Further blur those cultural lines, and to possibly incite. Honestly, a whole Middle Eastern way of life here that the likes of which we have never seen before. I said this to my wife before. I said to her, you watch, in 50 years, America's going to look like the war-torn Middle East, you know? And there's a reason why they're bringing them over. And it's not just goodwill.
Absolutely not. And I'm wondering now, well, I know what they're up to, but there's got to be more to it than that. But, you know, Americans, good old boys like you and like me, we're not going to stand for that. It's not going to happen. You are not going to have your jihad, not here. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So I don't even know why they think they may even have a chance of getting away with it. It's not going to happen. Flat out. Somebody asked me the other day.
Go ahead.
Somebody asked me the other day. We got on the subject, kind of. And he said, if tomorrow the government turned on you, would you fight? I'm like, you have to ask me? Of course I will. There's no question. And that's the attitude a lot of my brothers and sisters have. And you're not going to get away with it. Plain and simple. I'll put up with the BS. You know, I'll flow for a little bit. But as soon as you start implementing your plan, it's over for you. Plain and simple. Go ahead.
What I find kind of disturbing is that a lot of American women who have embraced the Muslim culture, even to the point of donning the garb.
What is that?
You know, the hijab or the burqa or whatever. I mean, there's a number of different ones. But I've seen that. I mean, American women, Rob, who have embraced Middle Eastern, you know, the religion, the faith, and they really live it out. And it's
you mean the ones whose fathers walked out on them when they were young?
Yeah, exactly.
Or grew up without a father in the home?
Yeah. Or those women who maybe lived a really wild youth and they're now trying to compensate. Because if you think about it, it's the complete polar opposite of living sort of a wild, free youth. So, you know, and I'll tell you what, I mean, even in my where I live, the park right down the road where I take my son and we go there a lot, I mean, there are just communities in my town of the Middle Eastern folks. And look, you know, I know that many of them are peaceful people. I don't want to paint them with a broad brush. The problem is, and I'm quoting here, is that the peaceful majority isn't doing anything about the violent minority. You know what I mean? And the thing is, the violent minority of those people, they're really instrumental in carrying out their plans. You know what I mean? They're barbaric. They're forceful, aggressive. They're like piranha, really. I mean, they're relentless. So I hope that Americans would stand up. I just don't know, man. I mean, there are so many Americans that are so just dumbed down, you know, out of shape. They have no spiritual discernment. I wonder, would enough really stand up to that kind of takeover?
All right, Jason, we're going to go to a commercial.
All right.
Because we're way past due. We gotta catch up here. That's my fault.
That's my fault too.
Obamacare.
Sorry.
Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the word affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one. So you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the healthcare premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out,
Stay healthy. But come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you?
A message from the White House Office of Obamacare. Propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and whine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. So, Jason, I want you, I want to get your take on a little bit more. This has something to do with what we've been talking about. It seems it is much easier to reach refugee status if you are a non-Christian rather than a Christian. So, in light of that, I want to share for you a little clip from the Alex Jones show. This is David Knight. He's absolutely correct here. Let's see if I can find it. There it is.
Find a balance. But when we look at the record of the Obama administration, I don't see a balance there. Now, of course, there's this article from Breitbart saying pro-Christian vow. Trump escalates against the media's Muslim Obama smear. Donald Trump, they say, is hitting back twice as hard as the Democrats. He told the New York Times the bigger issue is that Obama is waging a war against Christians in this country. He went on to say that the question was given to him, was about training camps. He says the media wants to make this an issue about Obama. The bigger issue is that Obama is waging a war against Christians in this country. They need support, and their religious liberty is at stake, he added. He is absolutely right about that. We have pointed this out many times. As a matter of fact, it's not the first time he said that. If we go back to August the 21st, we had an article on Infowars.com at the time by Kit Daniels. Trump says Muslim immigrants are treated better than Christians. Every immigrant in the United States is being treated better than American citizens. That's the real issue. That's the fundamental issue. He said it's easier for Muslim immigrants to enter the U.S. than Christians fleeing ISIS, Donald Trump pointed out. So this is talking about, when you look at the religion issue, this is talking about whether or not Syrian refugees are going to find a way into the United States. And he was very clear and very accurate at the time to say that it's much easier to get a refugee status coming out of Syria if you're not a Christian. If you're a Muslim, you're going to get a free ticket in. If you're a Christian, not so much. That's what he said at the time. He said, do you know if you're a Christian from Syria, you can't get into the United States? If you're a Muslim from Syria, it's one of the easiest places to get into. He says there's an assault on anything having to do with Christianity. The PC leftists don't want to use the word Christmas anymore at department stores. Well, look, we've laughed before at many times about Fox's perennial war on Christmas stuff, and it is based on a PC attitude. They want to purge anything that has to do with Christianity, and that includes saying things like Merry Christmas. It's not only annoying, it is actually very dangerous to find this kind of political correctness that purges speech, that purges the free exercise of religion. We have to understand that our country was founded upon the free exercise of religion. That's why most of the people who came here from Europe came here. They came here to escape religious persecution in England. And so that was a key part of much of what made the basis of our law here, was based on toleration of different religions. So you have to understand that when we see this being shut down with people being shamed about what they have to say about the free exercise of religion, of course, one of the groups that really pushes against this is an organization that talks about freedom from religion. That's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says we have free exercise of religion. Free exercise of religion. Okay, it's freedom of religion, and you exercise it. You don't have to keep it in the closet. And so now what we have is a situation where Christians, they're demanding that Christians keep their faith in the closet. And that's a kind of persecution. We don't want to see the pendulum swing back the other way. This is not something that's going to work out good for either group. We've seen this in the past. We don't want to see this in the future. And, of course, there is a systemic bias against Christians in the mainstream media, as well as in the District of Criminals in Washington, D.C. We've talked about this many times. Of course, going back to July 21st, we had an article on Infowars.com. The persecution of Christians is intensifying as anti-Christian hatred sweeps the entire world. Now, at the time, Michael Snyder's article went down point by point a lot of different countries. I think it was about 10 countries in this. First one was Iraq. But, of course, in both Afghanistan and Iraq, we had a history in those countries that were predominantly Muslim. We had a history of some toleration of Christianity, more so than in our close ally, Saudi Arabia. There were Christian churches in Afghanistan. There were Christian churches in Iraq. Not after we took over. They have essentially been purged out of those countries. Isn't that telling? Once the United States got in, once the United States set up their puppets, Christianity was gone. I am more concerned about the American attitude towards Christianity than I am the Muslim attitude towards Christianity, quite frankly. But they, it goes on to some other countries, Kenya. And, of course, in Kenya in April of this year, that was where there was the massive attack at a university getting shot up by Muslim terrorists who came across the border. Similar things happening in India and Pakistan, where the Muslim terrorists are attacking Christians. Nigeria as well. And then in China. China is an interesting example. Because we can see there, if you're a Christian, if you're another religion, if you're not a religion, you can understand the kind of persecution that we've seen there. And here's the important thing, I think, to take away from China. Of course, people who had non-government-approved churches, people who had home churches and other things like that, they were relentlessly persecuted in China. They did, for a while, make accommodations to people who would modify Christianity, modify their Bibles, so that it wasn't threatening to the Chinese communist government. That ended. You cannot make accommodation with the government. Anytime you do that, anytime you allow them to censor your beliefs, to censor your the exercise of your religion, it will eventually turn out as we saw it turn out in China. Now they are destroying churches. They're pulling down crosses everywhere. Even in Italy, we see Christians being attacked by Muslims. But the key thing is what's happening in America.
In America. Jason?
Yeah. That's interesting. Only because I'm looking real quick. It piggybacks off that clip. There's an article here. The Pope threatens taxes and all that refuse refugees. I think he's referring more to Europe. Yeah, I'm looking at this. You can send it your way if you want. It may take some further vetting, but can I just read the first couple sentences of this?
Absolutely. Read it to your heart's desire.
Okay. Pope threatens taxes and all that refuse refugees. Now Pope Francis has called himself a, quote, son of immigrants and confirmed the point by issuing a blunt warning to any religious orders in Europe that spurn his recent call to open their doors to refugees because they want to make money off their properties instead. The Pope, by the way, is from Argentina, and no, he is half immigrant. His father came from Italy. His mother was born in Buenos Aires. Go ahead, the Pope said, but be ready to pay taxes just like everybody else. The grand steps the Pope is taking to help refugees is on the next page. Can I send it to you?
You don't want to read it?
Well, hold on. Let me go to the next page here. My computer's acting up a little bit. Let me finish the article. Hold on a minute. Sorry, folks. Kind of winging it here. All right. It says, the Pope also announced he's taking two refugee families at the Vatican. They will remain, quote, as long as the Lord wants. Two, the Pope Francis retorted, some religious orders say, quote, no, now that the covenant is empty, we're going to make a hotel and we can have guests and support ourselves that way or make money, the pontiff said. So that's all it talks about, but I think that's very interesting. Again, spreading socialism. I'm just going to send this to you privately, Rob, and you could peruse it at your, leisure. Interesting, right?
Yeah. I think everything that I've heard the Pope say in the past week is interesting. He's the first Jesuit Pope. We never had a Jesuit Pope.
This guy, I really, my antennas are up with this guy, and they were with Ratzinger and the Catholic establishment as a whole anyway, but this guy is just something I really think to watch, especially he'll be here next on Wednesday. He meets with Obama this Wednesday, the 23rd, speaks to the UN. He's going to Philadelphia. He's going to speak to the UN in New York about climate change. I really think if we can, we had to do a segment on that at some point on the show.
Right. Well, I mean, what can you say? This guy is pushing the New World Order.
Well,
and
Rob,
if you he's
called for a new world economic order and a world government. This Pope has called for that, and I can try to dig up that quote.
How do you wake up the masses? That is the question we've all been asking. How do you wake people up? And the simple truth is, people are going to have to go through it in order to wake up, and by then it's too late. So do we give up, or do we keep fighting? That's the question.
I think we try to reach those that are on the fence. That's my feeling, is that we try to reach those who aren't really certain about all this, and maybe they have some sense that something's wrong. I think it's those people that we ought to really kind of try to reach out to. The folks that are just blatantly unwilling to listen, I think it's too late for those people. I really do. I just think that, you know, we ought to reach those people who are trying to figure some things out and who want the truth and who are seeking the truth.
Right. All right. So in the news, let's talk about the news a little bit here. Donald Trump says that they asked him questions about the president's birth certificate, because, you know, that's a big no-no. Republicans don't want to touch that, because then you'd be labeled a conspiracy theorist, right?
Yep.
So GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump on Saturday said he's not, quote, morally obligated to defend the president against inaccurate claims from supporters. Trump, who is leading in the polls for the Republican nomination, blasted out a series of tweets amid mounting criticism that he did not cut off an event attendee who questions President Obama's citizenship and religion. Now, Jason, being a candidate, if somebody wants to donate to my campaign, who am I to refuse those funds as long as they're Americans? I mean, do you have a problem with people refusing funds from an American citizen?
My own concern is that, you know, it's when you have these large corporations who want policy pushed to benefit their corporation, you know. Or
well, right. I mean, I know the Supreme Court decided that a company is a citizen. I'm talking about real citizens. Forget the Supreme Court. I'm talking about individuals like you or I. No matter what their beliefs, if they're willing to donate to my campaign, do I refuse?
I mean, I think that's going to be a personal decision. I mean, you know, I think my issue is, you know, I guess how much are they donating? What is their intent? Is this just sort of a goodwill thing? You know, are they looking to get special favors from it? I guess that's my concern. Because you know how people are, you know?
So, should I be chastised for taking those donations? Do you think that's fair?
No, not necessarily. I think the donations, if they're allocated properly for the right reasons, it can be good. But knowing what I know about you, I think you would not let that become an issue. It's all these high-profile politicians, and we know their names, who use those funds for nefarious purposes or questionable purposes. I guess what I'm saying is I feel like it's got to be sort of framed appropriately, I guess.
All right. So here are the tweets from Donald Trump. Am I morally obligated to defend the president every time somebody says something bad or controversial about him? I don't think so. I agree with that. This is the first time in my life that I have caused controversy
by not. And the third one is, if someone made a nasty or controversial statement about me to the president, do you really think he would come to my rescue? No chance. Any comments on those?
No. No. I mean, you know where I stand with all this. I know everybody's jumping on the Trump train. I'm not buying it, but, you know, I don't know that guy needs much of anything in terms of donations, but what do I know?
Ah, okay. So here's the thing. I talk to people. Well, I see people in the black community every single day. And I guess I'm just one of those guys where you can have a conversation with me and they know somehow that nothing offends me. I was just talking to this lady today. She said, you know, there's good and bad in everyone because we were talking about kids. She said, I don't care what race you are, what religion. I knew she was trying to get the answers out of me that she wanted. And I simply said to her, I said, you know, I'm glad I don't consider myself white. I'm an Appalachian American. And I had her laugh and she was rolling. But when it came to Trump, she loved Trump because he tells the truth. There's nothing more refreshing, Jason, than the truth.
I would agree.
And so, you know, PC police are everywhere. The hell with the PC police. It's time that people just start saying what's on your mind. It's time we have a real discussion. Let's talk about it. I'm sick of beating around a bush. Life is too short. This country is too valuable to be beating around a bush and shutting people up. That's not what the founders intended. The founders wrote free speech, freedom of speech, in the First Amendment. What's the reason they wrote that, Jason? So that we could have a real discussion, right?
Yes.
And that's what we ought to be doing. There's no time for games. And any politician that talks in circles, why are you voting for them? That's what I want to know. You got these guys, they're asked a question, and they talk in circles and talk in circles and talk in circles until I'm dizzy. But the
that's
average
why they call
American
it,
voter...
That's why they call it the Oval Office.
The Oval Office.
Sorry.
But the average person listening to this is somehow mesmerized by it, and they end up voting for the guy. Because they have a D or an R behind their name. I don't know. But it's time we start thinking about the individual and not the party they belong to. Although, I don't know of a good Democrat at all. Do you?
Do I know a good Democrat?
Yeah.
Not really.
I don't know either.
I've never come into close proximity to a good politician. I'll be honest with you. I just haven't.
Except me, right?
Except for you. That's true. To me, it's almost like I would equate it to like tasting black licorice. You're just like, oh, you know. I'm not saying I couldn't. There's not an opportunity that you know, I could meet a good one. Just so far, I have never met one that I can see. Yeah, that person's got really good intentions and has good plans, and I've never had that.
Well, it is rare. It's very rare. I think Ron Paul was the last major candidate, like the one you explained. And he didn't fare too well. And he said pretty much everything that Trump is saying, except not so arrogantly. And people like that arrogance. People like somebody who's in charge, a powerful man, who says what's on everybody's mind. And I think that resonates with people. Now, I'm not saying he's the guy. He's my guy. You know, because Trump does have a past of, well, I mean, he was a businessman. He lobbied politicians. He paid people to show up to his wedding. He played the game. He knows the game. Is he genuine? I hope so. I wish I knew, beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, me too. Me too. The problem is that you have people that lie and who are good liars, you know? I would love to give a personality inventory to most of these people. I would love it. I'd love to sit down and give them like the MMPI or some other personality inventory. And I bet you the scales that measure narcissism or, you know, antisocial behavior would be highly elevated.
I forgot, you're an expert in this. Psychology.
You know what, one thing about me, man, and I've always had this, I don't know if it's sort of a gift, I believe God gives every one of us a gift, is I've always had an ability, sort of an innate ability to understand humans and people. It's weird, and I can't go into all of it, but it's like another sense or something. And I guess it lends itself well to what I do.
Well, we're glad you're doing it. Those kids need you. God knows they're in a messed up world.
Oh yeah, I mean I can't even begin to tell you some of the stories. And just even this past week, past 2 weeks, the stories, it would curl your hair, man. It really would. I mean, literally, you would just sit there and stare into space if I could tell you some of the things these kids have shared with me. And they're true, because I've had to get involved. It's hard to explain, but it's a mess. There are kids that are absolutely living in just deplorable situations.
Yeah, but we're going to bring the refugees in and give them everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As I've said before, this is all destruction by design. That's what this is. Everything that our politicians are doing in America is destruction by design. And they know it. They know it. They have to create chaos in order to usher in the new, and that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
What do they call that? To make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs?
Yes. Yeah. And they're not making eggs. They're making eggs Benedict.
So here's a story. 75% in the United States see widespread government corruption. This was a Gallup poll. Washington, D.C., or the District of Criminals, 3 in 4 Americans last year perceived corruption as widespread in the country's government. This figure is up from 2 to 3 years ago. Back then it was 67 to 66%. This year it's 75%. Now, if all of these people polled know that there's government corruption, why aren't they voting the right people in?
Well, like I guess I would say, do these people realize, do they understand who the good people are? My guess is they don't. They have an idea who the good people are. I mean, look at how Obama duped the world, basically, the first time around. I mean, when he was, you know, sworn in, or when it was determined that he was the president, do you remember, did you see the footage around the world of people responding to him? That?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was downright creepy to me. I sit back and I said, whoa, that's just strange, the way the world responded. So look how he was able to completely dupe thousands, if not a million, some people. I mean, so I don't know. I don't know that voting at this point even as much of an impact, at least at the federal level. You know, I'm with you on the state and local level, perhaps. Federal level, it doesn't get more corrupt. You know, I'd say a rabid pit bull is more trustworthy at this point.
Pope Francis. We're going to get back to the Pope. Departed from Cuba on September 19th on the Alitalia Airbus A330-200, christened Raffaello Sanzio at 10:35 a.m. from Fiumicino Airport. The Jesuit legacy is strong in Cuba. Father Antonio Lorente, a friend of the late Pope, who died in 2010, was actually Fidel Castro's teacher and spiritual advisor at the prestigious Jesuit Preparatory School in Havana, which was also frequented by his brother Raul Castro, Cuba's current leader. A few years back, when Fidel retired because of health problems, Raul gradually took over as president of the Council of Ministries of Cuba, and later commander and first secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cuba. Communist Party of Cuba. Raul was literally brought up by the Jesuits, attending the Jesuit school. And later, before becoming a full-time communist, engaged in numerous intelligence operations with the Soviet Union. The role the Jesuits play in the formation of Raul and their ties to the mysterious and powerful Company of Jesus, which helped craft communism, is extremely clear. Also to consider is the recent role of the Vatican Jesuits in reestablishing Cuba's relations with the U.S. A rapprochement between the U.S. and Cuba, who facilitated by Argentine-born Pope Francis, who allowed the Vatican to be used for secret negotiations. There were simultaneous public announcements by Castro and Obama about the progress toward normalization. Who are the Jesuits, and who is Pope Francis really? Now, I've mentioned this a few times, Jason, the only Jesuit pope.
That would be significant. You know,
it is significant
because in a lot of my research, and I don't know enough about it, but I've always heard, you know, the Jesuits are the ones behind a lot of this stuff. So that alone makes it even when you compile that with everything else we know about Pope Francis, that even makes it a little more interesting.
The propaganda machine is already in motion, and the media announced that Obama and Raul had a phone conversation in the last few hours declaring how essential Pope Francis is in helping these two communities unite in friendship once again. The Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Parolin stated that the role of the Pope was determinant because it was he who decided to write the two presidents to find a way to overcome the present difficulties. That is why Cuba and the U.S. decided to reestablish their diplomatic relations to coincide with the birthday of Pope Francis last December. After meeting Pope Francis in Vatican City on May 10th, Raul Castro not only said that he is considering returning to the Roman Catholic Church, but even stated in a televised news conference, "I read all the speeches of the Pope, his commentaries, and if the Pope continues this way, I will go back to praying and go back to the church. I am not joking." Adding that on occasion that the Pope arrives, "I promise to go to all of his masses and with satisfaction."
Wow.
Pope Francis is the third Pope to visit the Caribbean island. Before him, John Paul II in 1998 and Pope Benedict in March of 2012. The motto chosen for the current visit is Misionero de la Misericordia, referring to the Jubilee of Mercy take place from December 2015. This is the time Rome will be invaded by millions of pilgrims and ISIS may attempt to let hell loose, planned X hour for attack on Rome. And the story goes on and on. Jason, what are your thoughts?
I tell you, I mean, it's alarming to me. This guy is not what he seems, and he's spreading doctrines, Rob, that are, they're anti-biblical, number one. And I share with you some of those with you at the start of the show. But it's also alarming how he's just tickling the itching ears. He's telling people what they want to hear. You know what I mean? That basically there's no need for repentance. Everybody goes to heaven. And he actually did say that. He said you don't need to believe in God to go to heaven, and that atheists will also go to heaven. Okay, well, that's, again, contrary to Scripture. All right? So nothing's going to surprise me if it comes out. And I know he mentioned that he was concerned about a possible assassination attempt on him. And he said he hoped that if that were the case, it would be quick because he doesn't like pain. And the Bible talks about a death wound being healed and this entity being revived. And its followers saying, well, gosh, you know, who can defeat this being? This person, you know, this thing was killed and came back to life. And, you know, so basically espousing godhood to this thing. So who knows what's going to happen? I think it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold. And I think we ought to be keeping our eyes on the sky. But more importantly,
absolutely,
what message is he sending? Because right now, it's one of socialism, communism, it's one of climate change, it's one of inclusiveness, and that's the other thing. It's inclusiveness. And who doesn't want inclusiveness? You know, I'm not sitting here saying I'm not like some, you know, segregation, but I don't want inclusiveness at the hands of evil. And I think that's what we're talking about here. The man's called for a one-world currency, a one-world government many times. That should be a wake-up call to anybody. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If when he addresses the UN, and I dig up some information on it, if he calls for all of that, I will be posting something on Facebook that I really hope my Christian brothers and sisters of the Catholic persuasion understand the biblical and prophetic significance of this. And I'm sure it's probably going to draw a lot of ire from folks on Facebook, but I don't think there's any time to stop at this point. Did you ultimately delete that one post that I had commented on today?
Yes.
Okay. That's a shame.
I was advised against it because, quote, most of my constituents are Catholic.
But isn't that playing into everything that you and I stand against? You know, or you know what I mean? So what? So what if they're Catholic? Why should you pad because you want to run for office? Why should you pad? I mean, it wasn't even you that said it. It was me. I guess I don't understand that. I think that's a shame. Especially, Rob.
I think you're right.
Everything that I posted in there was for the most part, was true. I mean, there were some, you know, my own little, I don't know what you want to call them, dictates, but some of the stuff that I had posted there was very accurate. And, you know, if the Catholics have a problem with that, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God, you know. All I'm doing is saying, look, here's what the Bible says about these things this Pope is saying. You know, I would question the degree to which some of these Catholics truly read their Bible or really understand Scripture. And I'm not a Bible scholar by any means, but I have studied it pretty extensively, especially over the last 11 years. And I can tell you, if you're part of the Catholic Church and you're not researching these things, it would behoove you to do so.
Amen. Well, Jason, I think we're about out of time tonight.
All right.
Very informative. Very good show. I'm a little afraid of what's to come. But
don't
I know
be.
One thing. I know one thing. I ain't going down without a fight.
Rob, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of strength and love and courage. That's always the most important thing to remember. We're not to fear these things. We're to discern them, and we're to stand and fight, you know, with his strength and his guidance. And, you know, I think that's where we ultimately need to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason, thank you for joining us.
All right, man. Have a good night.
As always, God bless you all.